ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. Introducing first on the microphone, it's your boy Duke. What up? I'm back and better than ever with a little international break for this weekend. Of course, you know me as the guy giving you six winners over the last three podcasts. Six, baby. Count them. One, two, three, four, five, and six. A half dozen on our way to Vegas for the opening weekend of NFL action. And I guess maybe we should thank the EPL, right? Thank those guys over in England across the pond giving us the weekend off for the season opener for the NFL. Cheers, boys. Speaking of the NFL, I am your host of the Talking Soccer Podcast, and we will certainly talk a little soccer, but don't forget about our guys over at fantasyguru.com. I did my little fantasy draft last night on ESPN. Don't use their rankings. Trash rankings. Use our boys. Let me tell you, it was a clean sweep for me last night. We had guys taking Leonard Fournette, Josh Jacobs, Le'Veon Bell in the first 15 picks. Don't be those guys. Check out fantasyguru.com for all your season-long needs. Now, you can find me mostly on elitefantasy.com talking a little DFS soccer. And, of course, all my betting action over at elitesportsbetting.com, where we posted our third straight winning month for soccer bets. And I only say three because we've been tracking units for three straight months ever since the Women's World Cup kicked off early June. We're going to keep it rolling this month in September. So get on over there and subscribe to the soccer package. Or hey, if you want to open it up, it's not just me. We got NFL, MLB, MMA, PGA, esports, NASCAR. It's all there. If you sign up for the VIP package, of course you get my soccer action there as well. Look, we're good at what we do. Come join or don't. That's cool too. I do have one bet for you. Just one, because that's all we need this week. And if you're already sick of hearing me talk and do the little ad read, you know the drill. Skip, 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 skip. Check it out. End of the podcast. One free bet this week. All right, let's talk some freaking soccer, people, because yes, no EPL action this week, but we will go through some surprises through the first four games. And before you say that's not a lot of action, that's over 10% of the season done. Don't wish your life away. Don't wish the season away. God, those are long-ass months over the summer as we go through transfer rumors and all kinds of BS, just waiting for that next season to kick off. So don't wish it away. Enjoy every single weekend as they come. But we have enough of a sample size to make some decisions, see where we're at, see what we could be looking at moving forward. Of course, we'll do our top three, bottom three. We'll talk about overachievers, underachievers, and we'll do some bets, singular bet, at the end. So surprises through the first four games. For me, the story's at the top of the table. Liverpool and City had an epic, epic battle last year for the crown. City obviously taking home the title. Liverpool finished second, 97 points, most ever by a second-place finisher. But it looks like more of the same this year. Through four, they sit 1 and 2 in the table, Liverpool on top. Now, we haven't got to the meat of the schedule. Obviously, they haven't played each other yet. And literally, it's that close to where the results in that home-and-away fixture, Liverpool-City, could decide the title. That is the story for me. It's going to be a ton of fun throughout the year. Primetime players playing up to the highest level throughout the entirety of the season is what separates good from great. That's why PSG are consistently at the top of League One, even though it's a pub league, and a team like Rennes or Lyon or even Monaco, who popped up with a championship there randomly in the last couple of years, are up there but not consistently at the top. Liverpool and City have done the best with recruitment, the best with development. They've bought the best. You look at a team like City. What's their most expensive transfer? Rodri, who they just bought from Atletico Madrid, who was going to be a backup CDM, or the future of CDM, now with some injuries, we'll talk about that here later, could be shoved into the starting lineup. It's not like they've bought these $150 million players like João Felix or Neymar. They've done it the right way, both City and Liverpool. Battling at the top all season. To me, that's the story so far. Through four, Liverpool up top sitting on 12 points. Perfect. City obviously dropped the one game, picked up a draw, sitting on 10. Next story. Who's sitting right there in third? Leicester City. Let's not forget, we have a Leicester futures bet for them to finish top six plus 475 that you got to be feeling good about right now, because Lord knows I do. Now, are they going to finish third at the end of the year? Probably not. Got off to a slow start. I think they drew week one. Everyone panicked. Oh, my God. Are Leicester going to be good? Yes, of course they're going to be good. Brendan Rodgers has them on the right path. They've brought in the right players. Ayoze Perez gives them balance. Harvey Barnes developing. James Maddison, beast. Jamie Vardy still scoring goals, even though he's 50. and looks 80. This team can get it done. After that, who knows, right? It's kind of a mishmash of teams that can go one of two ways. Crystal Palace, Arsenal, Everton, West Ham, Manchester United, Tottenham, Sheffield United, rounding out the top 10. Then Chelsea's on 5 points right there in 11th, and a group of four, and then a group on 4 points, I should say, and then the bottom dwellers, Wolves, Aston Villa, Norwich, and Watford. The biggest surprise for me thus far out of the rest of the table, for those that we haven't mentioned, Liverpool, City, and Leicester, has got to be Sheffield United. And maybe it shouldn't have been. You look at their form last year, and not only their form, but how they play. I knew they'd be tough to play against. They make it tough for their opponents. But to say they'd have, one loss through four games with a goal differential of zero would mean getting your head checked had you said that preseason. Just unbelievably solid team. Now, my fear for them, as it was at the beginning of the year and now seeing through four games, is how are they going to create enough chances to score enough goals to not only maintain their position, but just stay up? Sitting 10th in the table through four games, great. Much better than they expected. There's no chance in hell they're sitting 10th at the end of the year. It's still a relegation fight. That was their goal coming into the season. That will be their goal if they're at mid-table at Christmas. That'll be their goal if they have four games left and are still sitting in 12th, 13th place. You got to remember, outside of a few random years, basically 13th through 17th are battling for those relegation spots. It's going to come down to 3, 4, 5, 6 points at the most. Two games, right? Two wins. Sheffield will be in the battle throughout the entire year, but they're so tough to play against. And it goes back a little bit to their mentality, and it starts with the manager. For those who didn't hear it, I don't know if it was this week or the week before, did a great interview with the sideline host who asked him about his boys. You know, what a great effort the boys put in out there. You got to be proud of how they played. He looked right at the guy straight in the eyes and said, why? That's the minimum these guys should give me. They're professionals. They should be fit. They should work their tails off for the shirt. Not the front, not the back, but the front. That's the minimum they should give you. God, you'd like that to be true for every professional sport, right? Just give you an effort, give you in shape. Don't go out, get pissed drunk the night before a game. That's the minimum they should give. That attitude is the tone setter for the rest of that team. And if you look at who it is, it's not a bunch of superstars. The reason why I'm so worried about them scoring goals is they don't have that difference maker up top. This weekend, we do have some Euro Cup qualifiers. You'll see some familiar names. McGoldrick's in there. Callum Robinson, I believe, is on one of the teams, Ireland. Yes. They're starting for Sheffield United. Yes, they're 10th in the table right now. Have you seen anything from any of them to make you think if they get a chance, they're going to bury them? We'll talk about expected goals here in just a little bit. You look at a Pukki, way overperforming his XG. Do you think anybody is capable of that on Sheffield United? I don't. Bravo. Bravo to them for sitting 10th at the moment. But let's just hold our horses on where they'll be at the end of the season. I do like them to stay up as it looks right now. Watford are absolutely dreadful, and that's where we'll go next. Speaking of scoring goals, Watford, yuck. Two goals from four games and just looking like an absolute garbage can while doing so. Garcia, got to be the first manager to go. But can we talk about Wolves for just 1 second? I mentioned they're in that group with 3 points. Three draws, one loss, zero wins from four games. What are they doing? What are they doing? Frankly, I'd love to see it because while I can appreciate what they're trying to do and how they play as a team and the organization and spending money in the right places, and deep down, I hate it. I want to see expansive, free-flowing football. I want both teams to try to score 100 goals. As crap as some of the football was in that Tottenham-Arsenal game, at least it was stretched at times and we saw some attacking soccer. I've never gone to a baseball game hoping there's a no-hitter or a pitching duel. Give me dingers. Give me home runs, baby. Give me goals. So playing every game in a shoebox like Wolves tries to do, not that interesting. And what is super interesting, what is Wolves going through right now? Euro League qualification, and it sucks. Travel's never fun. You're playing weird teams. It's a two-leg affair. There's multiple stages. It's a lot of games on your squad early in the season when you're still really building up that full fitness. And unless you make significant additions, not only in terms of depth but quality, how are you going to compete in just a whole nother competition that you weren't in last year? You won't. Look at Burnley. This is what Burnley was up against. They did so well to finish in the top six the prior year. European football for Burnley? Burnley? What? We saw exactly what it did to them. Absolutely shocking start to the season last year. We're actually in the relegation fight, a bit like Wolves are right now, during their EuroLeague adventure, we'll call it, right? The second they dropped out of the European League, started playing Burnley soccer. Defend. Balls in from wide. Get the two big boys up front, causing problems. Knockdown. Goal. Ashley Westwood. Set piece. Blah, blah, blah. Moving their way up the table to a respectable finish. I think we're going to see a little bit of that from Wolves. But what it's really forcing them to do at the moment, all these extra fixtures, is rotate the side. Something they never did last year. That was their strength, the continuity. The same back three, the same wing backs, occasionally bringing in Vinagre or somebody on, you know, the left or right. Doherty gets a seat. But Moutinho's in there. Dendonker. The same guys. Neves. The same guys week in, week out. Who do we see this weekend? Adama Traore. Right? Starting at right wing back. I called for it. I wanted to see him there. Doherty hasn't looked great this year, which is surprising. One of the best players last year for not only Wolves, but down that right-hand side really caused a difference. But they're having to rotate this side. So for me, if I'm Wolves, collect the bag. Just get the bag, baby. Get out of the Europa League. Get the check for getting into the qualification rounds and go back to winning games. You have to, because even though I don't love the way they play, they're too good to go down. They're not going to go down. They're going to be here next year. So let's at least see a good Wolves team, because the last thing you want to see, and unfortunately we see too much of this right now because there's so much at stake at this high level, is bad teams bunkering to prevent from getting blown out. Ugh, makes me want to throw up in my mouth. So let's at least see good Wolves teams. So what else? Tammy Abraham scoring some goals, right? Just score goals for fun. Could have and should have kicked off the year with a goal against Manchester United. Damn near cracked the post in half from the top of the box. But with four on the year, he's off to a great start. Good for him, young boy. How about, we just mentioned him, Timu Pukki, five goals. We'll talk about him in just a second. First on the list, leading goal scorer through four games. Serge Aguero with six. Maybe predictable if you look at the fixtures that City had and Tottenham had. No, Harry Kane's notoriously slow in August. You look around, all right, well, if Aguero starts, he's probably going to lead the league in goals. People forget there was a time not too long ago when fans were ready to move on from Aguero. He is absolute class. Got a nose for the goal, clinical finishing. He scored the damn goal to bring City their first title in 50 years since I was born. Now, the last time he was taken off, he did get into it with Guardiola on the sideline. Don't hate it. Don't hate it, to be honest. Managers and players have disagreements. I don't like that it was out in front of everyone to see, but Aguero didn't want to be taken off. He said, F you, Guardiola said, F you. A couple F's back and forth. Guess what? We'll figure it out. We'll move on from there. He's not going to come off the field, guys. If he keeps scoring goals, he keeps his place in the team. Gabby Jesus ain't taking Aguero's spot. Now, for me, what's worrying is the other end of the field for Manchester City. Aymeric Laporte just went under the knife, had some surgery to fix some ligaments in his knee. He's going to be out at least until the start of 2020. He's gone. Vincent Kompany is in Belgium. John Stones can't find fitness or form. He's not playing. So now we got Fernandinho likely filling in at the back in emergency situations. Basically, what, Fernandinho and Otamendi are your two center backs ready to go? Now, City have the ball for 60-70% of the game. We know Fernandinho can make a killer pass. So as far as they're building out of the back, perhaps it's a good thing, right? Laporte, pretty good with his feet. He's no Fernandinho. We know Fernandinho's got that bite. Otamendi, good for a yellow card a game. He's got that bite, right? That steel in the back. But do you want to go on a Tuesday or Wednesday evening, Champions League football, with Fernandinho and Otamendi as your two center backs? No, no chance, man. So City, again, I love it. We're holding our Liverpool to win it all. Futures ticket. We also have our Liverpool to win it all with Mo Salah being the leading goal scorer. Really wish he'd finish some chances every once in a while. We got that futures ticket. I love it. As a City fan, you should be worried because you can get through the Burnleys and the Bournemouths and the Norwiches of the world with Fernandinho and Otamendi. You can't take on the big six. You can't take on Leicester with that center back pairing and expect to finish first in this competitive league. So, loving Liverpool. And in fact, they're number one for me on my top three. So let's do top three, bottom three. Liverpool, number one. Number two, City. Those two, for all the reasons we mentioned above, top two. Number three, look. Hate me all you want, but it's got to be Manchester United. You can find me on Twitter at DukeDFS for all issues with my top three. Look, the stats back me up on this. The adjusted XG for goals scored, goals conceded, etc., has United second in the table. Those are the stats. I don't know what to get mad at the stats. Yell at the spreadsheet. But here's my issue. They've missed two penalties, costing them four additional points from two different games, which would have them on nine points, right? They'd be sitting third in the table ahead of Leicester. It's about where they belong. But here's my issue. Bigger issue with Manchester United. Outside of the fact that Juan Bissaka's come back from international duty with a back injury and Paul Pogba pulled out of France duty with an ankle injury and Rashford stinking, Martial hurt. Rashford, to me, is the issue. Thinking he's freaking Ronaldo. Rashford right now couldn't hit the water if he fell out of a boat. It's ridiculous. The poor boy just had too much too soon, I think. He'll come good for me. I love Rashford. I think he's going to be a hell of a player this year, let alone in the future. But this is when you want a Martial healthy. You want an Icardi, right, who just went to PSG to be able to come in. Give Rashford a little break. Move him out to the wing. Get him out from the number nine. If Martial's not there, guess who goes in? Rashford or Greenwood. Do we give Greenwood a chance? Well, he's even younger than Rashford. Big chances taken by Ole this season, going young. Don't hate it. It's the United way, especially with academy players. But man, Rashford's got to get his head right. There's a lot of pressure on that boy. But for me, I didn't see enough from Arsenal or Tottenham to claim this spot. I'm not going to give it to Leicester at this point. And in fact, Tottenham looks so bad that they fell off the damn list. So yeah, Liverpool, City, United, top three. Now, how about the bottom three? The worst, if you think it's anyone other than Watford, tell me why. At Duke DFS, it just isn't. At the moment, Watford stink. Second from bottom, Aston Villa. You guys know why. If you've listened to this podcast at all before, we have our futures ticket. Again, I keep talking about these because we just make money on them. Aston Villa, bottom at Christmas. We had people talking about Aston Villa being middle of the table at Christmas. And look, they may jump out of the bottom three by then. This is exactly the start I saw for Aston Villa. Now, third from bottom, controversial, but I think it's Norwich. I love them to death, but they might concede 85 goals this season. I mean, they're the anti-Wolves, right? Wolves, compact Wolves, Burnley, teams like that, just Sheffield. Norwich play. They want to go score. They want to score goals. They're okay with leaving a little bit of space behind their midfield and their forwards for the other team to possibly attack and go out their backline. They're okay with that. They want to score goals, and God bless them. The ideal situation, I mean, not for Norwich. They would rather finish first, right, than what I'm about to say. But give me Norwich finishing 16th. You know how exciting those last 3 to 4 weeks are going to be if Norwich are in the hunt to stay up? And look, if Watford don't turn this thing around, number one, they'll change their manager within the next 3 to 4 weeks because something's got to change. But they will for sure be in the relegation zone if they don't get this turned around quick. So there's already one team gone now. Watford have the talent to turn it around, get things going. They got to play Sar. We've been over what they got to do. But for me, they're the worst. Villa, second worst. And Norwich, God bless them, might give up 85 goals. Okay, now, I mentioned it earlier. We'll talk about some underachievers and overachievers. Now, this is based on expected goals. So, who has the highest expected goals? Basically meaning, have they got in situations where they've taken shots that should result in goals? Che Adams. Number one, his XG is 1.5, currently sitting on 0 goals. He does get in good areas, but he's a bit of like a helter-skelter kind of player every time he gets near the ball, and especially near the goal. Gets very, very excited. Kind of a mercurial-type player. He'll be hit or miss all year long. This is what he is. But I like what I've seen out of him at times so far. Number two, underachiever, James Maddison. Now, not a huge goal scorer, so maybe this isn't that surprising considering how involved he is. XG of 1.24, 0 true goals, ranked second. I mean, he's doing fine, right? I mean, he's one of the superstars of the first 4 weeks. And it kind of speaks to his game overall that he's the second most underachiever, should have won at least a goal, if not more. And he's played so well and still thought of so highly. And right there with him, Paul Pogba, number three, 1.2 XG, and obviously zero goals, obviously missed the PK. Now, does that mean that these guys are due for a goal next week? No, man. Do some research on XG and its benefits. It's not the gospel. It doesn't tell us the future, but it does tell us exactly how these players are playing, what spots they're getting in. Are they getting good opportunities? What are they doing that isn't showing up on the stat sheet, right? Now, how about the other end of the spectrum, the overachievers? Now, obviously, the underachievers by nature, probably not scoring too many goals. Vice versa for the overachievers. So these are probably some names you could guess. Overachiever, number one, Pookie. The dude has 5 goals. His XG is 1.55. Think about that. He should have 0.05 goals more than Che Adams. Che Adams on 0, Pookie on 5. That's my boy. Kind of madness, but you want to talk about regression. There it is. Now, number two, Sergio Aguero. 6 goals with 2.76 XG. And therein lies the difference, right? You think about chances each of these players are presented and what they do with them. Aguero's class. He exceeds XG at certain points throughout the season because he's that good. All these guys creating good chances, they just happen to be finishing them. Now, Sergio Aguero is a player who probably exceed his XG at certain points throughout the year. Just so good, right? The XG of a chance of shot should go in from a certain area based on other factors on the field, not necessarily taking into account the ability of the player. So keep those things in mind. By definition, these overachievers are the ones scoring all the goals. So 4 games into the season, like I said, you can probably guess who they're going to be. And also, like I said, no EPL action, but there is Euro Cup qualifiers, whatever the hell this is, this entire week, Thursday through Saturday. We're right in the middle of that competition. I think there's 5 game weeks left. Look, we can bet on it. So, of course, your boy has an article out, DFS article detailing everything for Thursday's slate over on elitefantasy.com. But what you all came for, 6 winners in 3 pods, and I'm only giving you one pick tonight. Drum roll, please. Oakland Raiders plus – no, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do football here. The other football. Let's get a win heading into NFL Sunday action, though. Saturday night, Toronto FC minus 114 versus Cincinnati. Look, I've been beating the brakes off of Cincinnati all season long, won a boatload of money betting against Cincinnati. Until they prove me wrong, I'm going to keep riding this train. Toronto, don't love them at the moment, but I love them a lot more than Cincinnati. So give me this spot for Toronto to win that game. Could be wrong, but my numbers are telling me it's another winner for your boy Duke and this community. I love you guys so much. Thanks so much for listening to the Talking Soccer Podcast here on the Guru Podcast Network. That's going to do it for this week's podcast. And as always, you can be back on Twitter at DFS on Instagram at DFS. Love you guys. Adios.